Welcome to Island Watch, where each episode we explore an island by watching a TV show or a movie. Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale. Hi, I'm Dave Zarg.
And I'm Gemma Voss. And yes, welcome to Island Watch, the podcast that transports you to islands all over the world. If you're up for a getaway, you've come to the right place. This week, the Good Ship Island Watch visits the dual island country of Trinidad and Tobago via the movie musical Bazo D. All aboard!
So here we are, sailing very near the northern coast of South America, closing in on Trinidad and Tobago. We're going to take a moment to get acquainted with the islands first. Then we'll dive into the movie.
Trinidad and Tobago is the southernmost island country in the Caribbean, and Trinidad, the much larger island, is just 11 kilometers from the Venezuelan coast. Together, the two islands are just under half the size of Jamaica.
That's right. The total land area of the country is about 5,300 square kilometers. About 1.4 million people live on the islands, and the country gained its independence from Britain in 1962.
It's one of the wealthiest countries in the Caribbean because of its petroleum exports. Tourism, of course, is also an important industry, especially on Tobago.
Like other countries in the Western Hemisphere, the history of Trinidad and Tobago is full of conquest, genocide, slavery, and colonialism, though the stories of the two islands aren't identical. The islands were first inhabited by indigenous people as far back as 7,000 years ago. At the time Europeans arrived, groups such as the Nepoya, Sepoya, and Yao lived on Trinidad, while on Tobago, the residents were Caribs and Galibi.
Yeah, the word Caribbean actually derives from those indigenous Caribs you just mentioned.
Right. Christopher Columbus was the first European to arrive on Trinidad in 1498. He sighted Tobago on the horizon, but didn't land. And then throughout the 1500s, Spanish invaders arrived and fought the indigenous residents on Trinidad.
Tobago didn't escape the Spaniards' attention. Raids to enslave people occurred regularly throughout the 1500s.
Trinidad remained under Spanish control. In the 1600s, Catholic missions were set up to convert people to Christianity. Later, there was upheaval in French territories in the years prior to that country's revolution in the late 1700s, and that brought a significant number of French settlers to the island. The British took over, and their rule was formalized in 1802.
Meanwhile, over on Tobago, the Dutch set up a fort in the late 1620s. The British showed up in the 1630s to make their settlements. And then there were also attempts to establish colonies by the French, the Spanish, the Swedish, and even a Latvian duchy. On both islands, there was violent resistance to these European invasions. Tobago actually changed hands among European powers 33 times, 33, over the decades, until British rule overrode everyone else in 1814.
Really, 33 times. Over time, plantations on both islands began to form a large part of the economy, and enslaved people were forced to provide the labor. Then, when slavery ended in the 1830s, thousands of people from India were brought to the islands as indentured laborers. Those waves of immigration made the country's population so diverse. Today, about one-third of the people trace their heritage to India and a third to Africa. About 55% of the population is Christian, 18% Hindu, and 5% Muslim. And now, on to the music.
Put up all your hand now, show me all your hand now, let me see the hand them who don't want no war, war, war. Put up all your hand now, show me all your hand now, love is what we're fighting for.
Soca music is the driving force in Bazo D, but what exactly is soca? I went searching, and I found a particularly on-point explanation from a young man on YouTube who goes by the name of Trini Trent. We'll put a link on our webpage so you can take in the whole video, but here's a taste.
Soca is a genre that was created here in Trinidad and Tobago, and many people regard it as the fuel of the carnival season. You know, carnival here is not just a day, it's not an afternoon, it's not a 2 days, it's not a weekend. It's not even a week. Carnival lasts months. It starts late in 1 year. It gains a little momentum over the Christmas season, goes into overdrive come Boxing Day, the day after Christmas, and it really builds and builds and builds before it climaxes with Carnival Monday and Tuesday, the two big parade days right before the start of the Lenten season on Ash Wednesday. So what really gets us through all of the different events and activities and all the cultural events and all the parties that we have that we call fetes? You know, what really gets us through all of those different fets is soca. That is the lifeblood of the season. That's what gives it that energy.
Credit for the creation of soca music is given to a musician with the fantastic name of Lord Shorty. In the 1970s, traditional calypso music was losing its popularity. It had really tough competition. I mean, reggae from Jamaica was taking off, and soul and funk from the States, pretty irresistible. So, Lord Shorty decided to make a new sound by building on the calypso bass. He added in elements of African rhythm and Indian rhythm, and by the mid-1970s, soca was catching fire.
Do you know why soca is called soca?
I do. It's the soul of calypso. So you take the so from soul and the ka from calypso, and you get the soul of calypso. Actually, Lord Shorty says he originally spelled it soca, S-O-K-A-H, using K-A-H, from the first letter in the Sanskrit alphabet to showcase the Indian rhythms. And again, we'll have a few links on our website where you can listen to the original soca hits, Indrani and Endless Vibrations.
Since the 70s, plenty of soca offspring have popped up. There's Afro soca, also born in Trinidad and Tobago, from Nigerian and Trinidadian artists. There's chutney soca, song sung in Hindi. There's raga soca, a Jamaican version. And parang soca, which incorporates Latin music. And steel band soca, called pan queso in Trinidad and Tobago, which uses the steel pan drums that originated in the country in the 1930s.
Okay, all these, just listening to this, just makes me kind of want to dance, or pretend I can dance. We'll just close out this section with Cherny Trent giving us a Trinidadian viewpoint on the importance of soca music to his nation.
I love hearing soca music and hearing somebody who sounds like me. And you know, this goes to the point that representation is so important. You know, we listen to so much American pop and hip-hop and R&B and soul and gospel and all of these different sounds that are coming out of America because most of our airways is dominated by American music. But when you hear somebody who sounds like you, and at least I could speak for myself, when I hear somebody who sounds like me, who uses the same twang and the dialect and Creole and has that same lyrical quality, that melody to the voice that, you know, so many people here in Trinidad and Tobago have, when I hear that, it really gets me so happy because I feel seen. I feel heard. I feel like there's somebody out there on the airwaves who understands me. And I think that that is so important for any genre of music and for any group who's listening to the radio just to hear themselves.
Popcorn is great with a show, but sometimes I want to connect the snacks to the movie just that much more. So I've searched high and low to find the perfect munchies, meant exactly for the show we're watching right now, Bazo D. We've gathered together recipes and other information for the foods featured in the show, and now we are sharing our picnic picks with you so you can get every tasty bit out of Bazo D.
Just head to our website, islandwatchpodcast.com. For our picnic picks.
Before we go any further, we should probably answer the question listeners have. Why is this film called Bazo D? What does Bazo D even mean?
We found a few answers that we liked. Let's start with some thoughts from the writer and producer, Claire Ince.
She says, and I'm quoting here, Bazo D is that giddy lightheadedness when you fall in love, which I think encapsulates the feeling of the film, its lightness, and there's a musicality even to the sound of the word. Bazo D. So we chose a Caribbean word that would mean something to Caribbean people, and we looked at it as a chance to educate the rest of the world about the word and its meaning. And it's been cool, even on that level, to see the response to the film with the reviews and discussion of the word, and the New York Times writing in the closing line of its review, "You might just go Bazo D over that soca beat." I don't know for a fact, but I'm going to guess that that's the first time the word Bazo D has appeared in the New York Times.
And the musical star of the film, Marshall Montano, has his own description of Bazo D. He says, quote, "Bazo D, in simplest terms, is to be head over heels in love, or as Beyoncé would say, crazy in love or drunk in love. It's really from the French term abasourdir, and it means to be dazed, lightheaded, caught up in a magical moment that you forget everything else around you. To be Bazo D speaks volumes of not just love, but the love people have of carnival. People forget about their rent, they forget about their mortgage, they forget about their stress, they forget sometimes about marital problems, and they immerse themselves into the color and the joy and the whining and the drinking and the atmosphere. And they get lost, head over heels in love with what is going on." Unquote. Sounds pretty cool.
It sounds good. It sounds exactly like what we need right now. So, on to the film. Bazo D is a light and sunny romantic drama. It was released in 2016. It's set in the middle of Trinidad Carnival, the biggest carnival celebration in the Caribbean. In a normal year, over 300,000 locals and tourists join in the party, and that was scheduled for February 15th and 16th, 2021. Like most things involving people getting together to have fun, it's been cancelled. But you can still party on safely because the Good Ship Island Watch is stopping in on Bazo D as our way to visit Trinidad Carnival this year. Dave, can you give us a bit more information about the show?
Well, the main character, Anita, lives with her dad, Ram, who is a real estate developer in Trinidad and Tobago. Anita is engaged to the son of Ram's best friend. Their marriage will mean new, much-needed investment from her in-laws into her dad's company. She's the dutiful daughter, but then she meets soca singer Lee De Leon. So will she do the dutiful, or will true love prevail?
Basically, it's the story of a girl who's expected to marry a guy. Girl meets another guy she seems fated to be with, and singing and dancing and hijinks ensue.
How's the sailing today? If you're enjoying our podcast, we'd love you to give us a hand by rating and reviewing Island Watch on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And be sure to tell your friends about Island Watch.
Natalie Pereira, who plays Anita, is a British actress and writer based in London. She studied text and performance at RADA and trained in classical acting at the Royal Central School of Speech and Drama. Bazo D is one of her few lead roles so far.
In an interview with Anoki Life, Natalie says, "I was raised a Christian, born and raised in the UK and of Sri Lankan heritage, which is rare for many Indians," the Christian part I think she means. "So, I was different than other Indian friends. I've always known that our culture was vast and varied, but the most magical feeling that I experienced while shooting was specific to Trinidad. People celebrate each other's religious festivals regardless of their own religion in Trinidad. You'll have Christians celebrating Diwali, Muslims celebrating Christmas, Hindus celebrating Eid, and I never had this experience before. This feeling of unity was really a moment where I had to stand back and take it all in. This is what it was like to be here in this Indo-Caribbean culture."
Bazo D's other romantic lead is played by soca musician Marshall Montano, who is hugely popular not just in Trinidad and Tobago, but the entire Caribbean. He's released more than 20 solo albums and more than a dozen with the group Ecstatic, where he is the drummer and musical director.
I found that there's a huge contest just before Carnival. It's called Groovy Soca Monarch. And Marshall had a winning streak of 5 years in the 2010s.
Cool. He's even been a presenter on BBC Radio. Bazo D is his only lead role in a feature film so far.
Marshall plays Lee De Leon, and like Marshall in real life, Lee De Leon is a soca artist. He has some hits, so he left the island to go make it big in the world. And incidentally, you may have heard of a couple other musicians, Nicki Minaj, Billy Ocean. They also left Trinidad and Tobago as kids. Well, they made it big. So back to Lee De Leon. He doesn't crack the big time. So he comes home pretty bummed out, and he's sitting at the airport, strumming away on his ukulele, when he runs into Anita in the movie's Meet Cute moment.
Let me see you make your body move. You made me whistle 'cause you're something good. Oh, you made my body feel rude. Whining like a champion.
Wow. I love that song.
How you know all them words?
Played it like a million times.
You're right.
Why is that funny?
'Cause I wrote it.
You wrote Kialwak.
Lady Leon, Mr. Gelman, I just...
Anita Panchuri, I love your music.
Where have you been?
I don't really do music no more. I take a break from that.
A break? You make happy music. The world needs that. Believe me. I gotta go. It's nice meeting you.
In an interview with Large Up, Moshel describes how he got an email from Claire Ince, the writer-producer, and her husband, Ansel McCain. Moshel says the email read, quote, "We are big fans of your music, and we feel that there is a lot of love and unity in your music, and we want to write a Caribbean love story based on your music. I was pretty flattered and honored back then, and I jumped into the project, and they gave me a script. When I read it, I loved the idea of what they were saying. I was very nervous about acting, but I thought I was going to do whatever was in my power to make this happen, and that was 10 years ago. I thought it would have been done within 2 years. I just stuck with them throughout because the story was about Caribbean unity." Here's a clip that shows this great blend of love and music.
The music, I get carried away. That song you heard me singing last night. My mom used to sing that.
Your mom?
She died when I was 6.
Sorry, but I know what that could feel like. My dad left us, and I couldn't deal with it. Then I found music.
Yeah, you can get lost in music.
Yeah.
The whole world is black and white, and then boom!
You're singing out loud.
And everything's in color.
Yeah.
It makes me feel...
Basily, like you wake up and you have no idea where you are. That's how I felt when I heard you singing upstairs in that room.
Playing Anita's father is Indian actor Kabir Bedi, who's had an astounding career, from being a Bollywood star of more than 60 films, to playing a bad guy in James Bond movie Octopussy, to becoming so famous in Italy that he's actually been made a Knight of the Italian Republic. I found a great interview with him online. Do you know that show, Some Good News, that John Krasinski was doing?
Yeah, I've heard several episodes of that.
Right? And it kind of spread. So there's a European edition, and the European host, a very dashing Italian guy, does a interview with Kabir Bedi on how to stay positive. So we'll link to that on our website. It's worth listening to just for his baritone speaking voice. I think it's at the resonant frequency of a deep shoulder massage, which is something I could go for right now. Here's a clip when Anita and Bharat's engagement party goes off the rails. There's a dispute with the band, and they're threatening to walk out, and Kabir Bedi's character, the dad, is going to take care of things.
Papa, is everything okay?
Oh, yes. Fine, they're just bluffing. They want me to make a higher offer, but I won't. You know why? Business 101. They are here with all their musicians, technicians, in front of the cream of Trinidad society. They're not just gonna walk away, are they?
Papa, I think...
They will rue the day.
Don't worry. Everything is gonna be okay.
I'll play.
Oh, you a professional musician?
Absolutely, sir.
And your band?
Me and me alone.
You and your...
Ukulele.
Ukulele, right.
Fate brings Lee in at just the right moment. The storyline is fairly standard, but it's not without its charms.
That's due to Claire Ince, Basso D's screenwriter. She's actually from Barbados, and her husband, Ansel McCain, is from Trinidad and Tobago. He co-produced Basso D with Claire.
In an interview with Shadow and Act, Claire explains where the idea of the film came from.
Yeah, she and her husband were in Barbados one time working on a project, and they were listening to a countdown of carnival hits, and the music of Macho Montano featured prominently. They were listening to Macho's music, and they thought, hey, it would be kind of cool to do a carnival musical that told a story and used Macho Montano's music. And they thought, well, because soca is so upbeat, it really lends itself very easily to being a happy story about love overcoming conflict.
And they were also inspired by the mix of cultures in Trinidad and Tobago. They decided to use this unusual backdrop that the world is not familiar with to tell a very universal love story about a woman forced to choose between her heart and her family's future.
And they settled on not just using Macho Montano's soca music as the soundtrack for the movie, but having him play the romantic lead in it, because in the director's words, he's such a dynamic performer.
Hey girl, are you, ready to defend in the toughest time? Right up till the end, standing by my side. When I need a friend, I depend on you, you, you and you and you and you and you.
The director of the movie is Todd Kessler. He's an American, but he's known mostly for working in children's programming. He's the co-creator and showrunner of the hit kids series Blue's Clues.
Yeah, so how did he come to get involved with Basso D? In that same Large Up interview with Michelle, the director said he came into the project because he loved the ideas in the script and the vibrant characters. And he said it's on one level the story of a woman who sacrifices her own needs to help others in her family. I thought this was a unique and universal story, and it was also the very rare script which featured a female protagonist in a role that was complex and not in the least stereotypical.
To try to keep things on what he called an accurate Trini track, all of the film's department heads did extensive research before they began, and each department was staffed nearly entirely by local crew.
And he says that all the carnival scenes were actually shot at the beginning of the carnival season, so he says everything was authentic. My favorite part of Basso D definitely has to be the song and dance numbers. And you might think they're going to be Bollywood style, because after all, there's a big Bollywood star in the picture. But director Todd Kessler says, actually, we call it Triniwood. It's got a much more real and less glossy style than Bollywood.
Marshall also weighed in on the Bollywood versus Triniwood distinction. He said that when they started filming, the cast and the crew and the producers, they were identifying this as a Bollywood film for a little bit because of the Indian element. But it's the story of an East Indian family, and us shooting in Trinidad, where there's such a huge Indian community juxtaposed with an African community. A lot of the movie is inspired ultimately by one song, Real Unity, which was done by my friend Drupati, which is really a remake of Aap Jaisa Koi, a famous Indian song from way back. A Bollywood song. We got clearer as we went into the process that, hey, this is not really a Bollywood film.
It's not. Yeah, that was something I liked about it, was like they were saying, it's the unglossy, sort of more real. I love Bollywood too, but I think this is its own thing and stands alone, so it's good. The lyrics of Real Unity, the song that you just mentioned, seem pretty timely. I'm definitely no Amanda Gorman, but I'll do my best reciting this. The song starts out, Well, this one is about uniting a nation. Why can't we all get along? Why we fuss and fight? Tonight we got to unite. What you say?
On Island Watch, for every show or movie we watch, we give it two ratings. We give it an island rating and a star rating. The island rating is about this. How much of a sense did we really get that we were on an island? How much of that island did we really get to experience?
It's my favorite rating, because that's the whole point of the show. We want to feel like we're escaping to an island. So Dave, what island rating did you give Bazodee?
Well, in Bazodee, I feel we really got to experience the diversity and the atmosphere of the islands. We just soaked it up. So I'm going to give this a 5 out of 5. My toes are in the sand.
I really loved this trip to Trinidad and Tobago with Bazodee. I'd say between the music and the dancing and the sparkling ocean, I felt like I had a really great time in the sun. And it's easy to say this is 100% toes in the sand rating, 5 out of 5.
And then there's our star rating, which is how much would we recommend this movie or show to a friend? So Gemma, what's your star rating for Bazodee?
Right. This rating is about the movie itself, regardless of whether it's set on an island or not. So we were really deliberate in choosing this movie, Bazodee. It might only be 28 days, but February can seem endless, especially with a pandemic beating down on us. So we wanted to give you, the listener, a light and sunny visit, and this movie is perfect for that. It's very visual, it's musical, of course, and danceable. I don't know that you're going to be able to stay sitting down while you're watching this. If I could change anything about it, I guess it would be the character development. I just wanted to know more about the characters, their backstories, their motivation, and through that, get to know just a bit more about Trinidad and Tobago. So, to be clear, this is definitely not War and Peace. It's not even Bridgerton. It's actually more like attending a really fun outdoor wedding of people that you barely know, but who seem like a great match, and the party is rocking. So just enjoy. 3 out of 5.
I found the movie to be immensely enjoyable. It's vibrant and joyous, but not to be taken too seriously. A splendid time is guaranteed for all, so I'm giving it 4 out of 5. It's time for Find the Island. With so many islands in the world, it's challenging to choose which to visit. With this Find the Island segment, we're learning more about islands and even discovering islands that are new to us. Maybe it will help you to choose which to visit, either in person or on a future episode of Island Watch. Here's how to play. One of us gives a series of clues and the other tries to work out what island it is. Best of all, you can play along at home. Today, it's Gemma's turn to highlight an island.
Okay, I hope you're ready. The island you're trying to identify is one of over 7,000 islands that make up one nation.
Okay, well, there are several archipelagic countries in the world, but I'm not sure. I think I need another clue at least.
This one island in that archipelago, it's only 10 kilometers square, but it holds a lot of party people. And it's super popular with tourists.
Okay, well, I can think of a number of islands that are very popular with tourists. I think I need another clue.
Okay, well, this will help a little bit, but I don't know that it's going to get you there all the way. It's how it got to be so popular. And it goes something like this. A German travel writer called it Paradise on Earth in a 1978 book, and by the 1980s, the island was a major backpacker destination. By the 1990s, international travel magazines acclaimed the beaches as the best in the world, and you can probably figure out what happened from there.
Yes, probably much of what made it so attractive began to disappear as more and more people showed up.
That's exactly what happened. The popularity took a toll on the island. The government actually wound up closing the island to tourists, not for COVID, although it was closed for COVID too, but this happened in April 2018. It was closed to undergo a massive overhaul for 6 months because the environment was just under assault from water and sewage and garbage disposal problems.
Okay, I'm sorry, I still don't know which island it is.
Okay, well, I'm going to go out on a different tack and tell you that the Spanish were the ones that colonized this island in the 16th century. And before that, the island was populated by people called the Ati. And at the time of contact, the island had a population of about 100 people who made their living by growing rice and raising goats. Sounds pretty peaceful.
Yes, that sounds idyllic. But colonized by the Spanish, well, that describes many parts of the world.
It does.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't think I know what this island is. Can you let me in on what it is?
Okay, I may have made these clues just a little bit harder because yours were so hard last time. So, you want another clue, you said? Because if I told you some of the closest islands to the archipelago are Taiwan and Hong Kong, would you know what archipelago we're talking about?
Okay, well, we're probably talking about the Philippines.
Yes.
But there's over 7,000 islands there, and I'm not sure which one this is.
I know, 7,000 is a lot, but this island is called Boracay.
The name doesn't sound familiar, but I'm sure I've probably read about this island and the tourist problems that it has had.
I'm 100% sure that you've seen pictures of this island because what that German travel writer said, it looks like paradise on earth. I'm going to just share a bit more information about that shutdown in 2018. It lasted from April to October, so 6 months. And just like COVID, when that shutdown started, the shutdown was just for tourists. So people working on the island had no idea if and when things would reopen. And because the reason for the closure was mainly environmental, the water was horribly polluted. Many of the resorts were shut down because of violating environmental laws. So there was a lot of uncertainty. But then in October 2018, the island had a kind of soft opening, but a lot of tourist activities were still banned. And even with a soft opening, the restrictions seem like really strange to me. You remember I told you that Boracay is actually just 10 square kilometers?
Yes.
For context, Stanley Park in Vancouver is just a little over 4 kilometers square. So the restriction was to allow only 19,000 tourists in at any given time. Seems like a lot. Hotel rooms were reduced from 12,000 to somewhere in the 6,000 to 9,000 range. The beaches also got new rules. The main beach, called White Beach, it no longer allowed smoking or drinking, and dining on the beach and beachfront parties were banned. The same for shops and peddlers. There was no more beach allowance. Casinos, banned. Fire dancing with kerosene lamps, definitely not on my top 10 list of things to do on a vacation. Also banned. Even building sandcastles became regulated.
Some of those restrictions seem sort of odd.
Not having been there, I don't have the context, but I agree. Well, like most tourist-oriented islands, the island's economy has been completely slammed by COVID. I saw a report in the South China Morning Post that said, according to government statistics, in June this past year, 2020, there was just 81 tourists visiting Boracay. Obviously barely enough to fill a single resort, let alone the hundreds of hotels on the island. Yeah, so there are people that are working there. They talked to one man who said, before the pandemic, we were busy all the time. We had a full house. We had around 21 staff members. The reception area would be filled with the sounds of ringing phones and clacking keyboards. And now, he said, now most of us are getting to know a different side of island life, gaining a newfound respect for Boracay's natural beauty. Well, Trinidad and Tobago and Boracay, what a trip. We are headed back on board now and setting sail for another port. But before we head out, a few clues to our next destination. Check out our website to see if you've got the right answer and what film or TV show we'll be reviewing next.
There's a national park on the island that is 20% of the island's landmass.
This island is home to the first and only single malt whiskey distiller on this continent.
And here's our first ever musical clue.
Some folks from this island you may have heard of. The Burra McNeils, the Rankin family, Rita McNeil, John Allen Cameron, J.P. Cormier, Rita Joe, and weather enthusiast Frankie McDonald. Also Natalie McMaster, Matt Minglewood, and Ashley McIsaac, just to name a few. Tune in next time for another great Island Watch adventure.
In the meantime, tell your friends about us. Follow us on Twitter at IslandWatchCast. Our email address is islandwatchpodcast@gmail.com.
And visit our website at islandwatchpodcast.com for show notes and more, like the answer to the big question, where does the good ship Island Watch sail to next?
Fair winds and calm seas. This has been a production of Phosphine League.
Phosphine League.
Phosphine League.
Phosphine League. Phosphine League.